Welcome back to the Mind Body Freedom Podcast. It is Natalie Spaeth here for the first episode of season three. And I've been, to be completely transparent, I've been dragging my feet on this recording because where I see life from is a lot different from when I last recorded a podcast. And there's been many things that have happened in my life. And if you do not follow me on social media, you do not know what that is. If you do follow me on social media, you will just get a little bit more in-depth background as to where I'm at. And I just want this episode to be an honest episode of where I am, and what I have in creation right now, along with, you know, just if there's anybody out there that needs support or needs a place to come to be heard. And to have this space be a place where you can feel connected and you can feel resonance with the words that you hear coming out of my mouth. And I will say that this journey has definitely not been an easy journey, but it is a journey that I've been on for about 4 years now. And that journey is really diving into understanding who I am, why I'm here, and what does it mean really truly to be human. And last year, obviously, if you've listened for a while, or if you've listened in any other seasons, you would have known that I went through a really intense experience back. It is actually, we are 4 days away. We're 4 days away from the 1 year anniversary of seeing something that I'm grateful that I was able to see. And the way I experience life now compared to where I experienced life even a year ago is so radically different. To give a little background, last year, I was coaching for a very beautiful company. I kind of climbed a little bit of a ladder within that company and was helping coach people on how to create online businesses, ultimately how to become an online coach. And a lot of what that program was about was building a business online, how to get clients online. And that's not my forte. That is not my specialty. That is not what lights me up. What lights me up is to see a human sitting in front of me and to see the magic and the beauty that shines within them, but to also see what is blocking them from being and living in that expression of beauty. That's where I came into play, and that's where I would be able to help really dive deeply with people into what is it that is fearful, what is it that's limiting, what is it that's blocking them. And where do they see the world from? And I did love that position. I truly did. But I knew in the core of my being that I was not living, or I was not walking my true path. And the universe, God, is going to put you back in alignment, whether you choose that or not. And I will tell you firsthand, it's better to choose it than to have the beautiful, mighty, great mystery put it in front of you, or choose it for you, or remind you ultimately. And when I was doing that, I was in a really deep course, studying the being of human beings. I had gone through a large astrological reading for the first time. It was about a 5 to 6 hour reading. Very deep, very insightful, and very terrifying all at the same time. I had microdosed a little bit of psilocybin for a few months between January and March as well. So needless to say, there were some big things happening for me at that time in my life when all of it came and kind of exploded. And in that explosion, what happened is my mind basically broke apart. And what that looks like is my behavior separated from my identity, which separated from my personality, which separated from my memories. And I was in pure awareness and I was able to actually see it all. But in that pure awareness state, I did not know what it was that I was experiencing. And unfortunately, we don't have the education well enough or readily available enough that when this happens to a human, ultimately we end up not being able to distinguish what is mine and what is somebody else's. And what that can look like is if somebody tells you something and you're experiencing this, you don't know where that's actually coming from. You can't tell if it's you or if it's them or if it's somebody else, because again, your mind is now split. Whereas when you're living your reality, you are in like your memories, your identity, your personality, it's all entangled into like one thing. And when it splits apart, though it sounds like enlightenment and spiritual awakening, which I will be candid, there was some of that to be had, the world labels it as psychosis. And psychosis then leads to schizophrenia. And schizophrenia, I feel like right now is very grayly defined. I'm going to say gray, G-R-A-Y, grayly defined, where you start to experience, ultimately, you can't tell what's actually happening in reality in the third dimension versus what's happening in a different reality that could be parallel. So you start to see things that are not there or that other people cannot see. You start to experience a really deep inner connection where you could be standing next to somebody and you could literally be speaking out thoughts that they're having, because everything is open at this point. And our system doesn't know how to experience that. And we're still experiencing that from a like 1950s playbook, ultimately. And the sad thing is that we're still labeling and medicating. And when you put medication into somebody who is experiencing that sober, it just creates a cocktail of confusion, a cocktail of potentially harmful scenarios where we think it's solving the problem or we think it's solving the symptom of the problem when the problem is much deeper than that. And what I've come to learn throughout a year of this experience is that I was blessed with my family and blessed to have the tools that I had already established. I was already moving my body every day, 30 minutes plus a day, eating, you know, 80%, 20% clean, drinking my water, getting great sleep, journaling, meditating. You know, I had a coach. I was, you know, doing all of the things, and I had those. What I want to say about those things is they weren't just doing things. They were tools to help bring me back to center. And even when I was placed into a hospital, I was still utilizing those tools. And it was because of those tools and routine, and I want to really emphasize, it was because of mainly routine that helped bring me back, because what the mind doesn't want is routine. Because you're floating in this kind of like abyss, this awe, this pure one awareness, and then you have all of the, you know, depths of your unconscious mind that are appearing very fast in front of you whilst you're also experiencing just an enormity of information coming through, but there was nowhere to put it. there was nothing that was grounding it into this right here, right now. So all of that happened, and the routine of literally waking up same time, like talking myself through how to make a cup of coffee, how to cook my breakfast, how to get into a car, how to even drive a car again. I mean, you're really, your mind is so blown open that it's, you have to be so conscious that you are a human being doing human being normal mundane tasks. And that truly helped bring me out of the state of psychosis. And it brought me back into, it grounded me here, because I was definitely not, my mind was not here. So with all of that experience, I've spent a year in integration, and that integration definitely is not over. But I was able to come back, quote unquote, where I could do normal functioning human things, I would say a few weeks after I got out of the hospital, maybe around like Mother's Day in May. And so then it took me a few months to find another coach. In that time period, I left my job and I really surrendered to life. I didn't have anything planned. I didn't have anything on the dock. I took a few months to really understand what happened, and from that point to come back and to take what I learned and to allow my test to be my testimony. And so I was able to do all of that, found a coach, and within a few sessions with this coach was really able to fully come back and become grounded and to not feel like I was floating through life, because that feeling of like, you know, you just feel like everything is unknown. You don't understand, you know, where you want to go. There's not this inspiration. Creativity has left the building. I mean, it was purely like coming home to survive ultimately. And then, so that would have been around October time. So once that happened, then I was ready to come back to work. I was ready to take clients again. I was ready to start sharing my message. And a month later, we got a call that my mom had gone into the hospital and had a scare. And ultimately, she got really nauseous, thought she was going to pass out, called the ambulance, went to the hospital, and basically they ran all these different blood tests and heart tests and said that she needed to come back for a stress test. And I was with her at this point, and I had asked the doctors kindly, I said, can we do that stress test now? And unfortunately, they said, nope, we got to schedule it out. And that would have been on the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. And the Sunday after Thanksgiving, we were at a baptism party. And my mom decided to stay home because she was resting and she felt really good that day. So she decided to go out and dust off some snow. And when she did that, she had a heart attack. And we got the call, and unfortunately we didn't have a lot of information at the time, so we immediately rushed to the hospital, and they pulled us into the emergency room, and they had about anywhere from what felt like 8 to 10 doctors standing around her body. Everybody's yelling. There's a machine on her chest that is doing chest compressions manually, and about 20-ish minutes, maybe, give or take, because time completely stopped in that moment, went by, and then the doctor called time of death. And we were in the room, and we were watching all of this happening. And you know, it's interesting. I've shared this story so many times. in that moment, my life changed forever. Again, same year. I'm just going to be completely transparent, you guys. I have a massive knot in my throat right now, and I didn't think this was going to appear. This is one of those reasons I haven't recorded. And so we're going to allow it to be there. So needless to say, there was a good month where I was back in the place of not understanding life again. And now I've really experienced one of the hardest things I had ever thought I had experienced. And death of my mom has taught me more about life. More about love, more about community than anything ever has. And so there was a moment. So again, you have to just even thinking about the timing. This happened the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and of course, in the height of the holiday seasons, and you go. I went into zombie mode and just do, because you're basically planning. I always say planning a funeral is like trying to plan a wedding in 1 week. And my mother and my family is blessed to have so many amazing people in our corner, between family, between friends, acquaintances. It doesn't matter. People came from the woodwork. I think I saw every single person I've ever known in my childhood or in my past that week. I mean, the day we got home from the hospital, when the day she died, we had a house full of people, and people just kept coming. And I could notice it at the time, but I couldn't fully experience it at the time. How blessed we are to have had that much support. And then the funeral came, and like I said, I saw every single person I think I ever knew in my childhood. Every teacher, preacher, pastor, neighbor, friend, family, like just so much in one room. And it was it was beautiful. It was so beautiful. And then we had a celebration after that down the road at the golf course for her, and it was just packed. I mean, I had never seen so many people. Even when I got married, never still saw that many people. And I thought I had a big wedding. So through that month, it was kind of do mode, and it was, how can I make Christmas normal for the grandchildren and us kids? Because that was one thing that my mom was just absolutely overjoyed every year about. Super stressed as well was Christmas. It was her absolute favorite time of year. And she wanted to make it special, and she made it special every year of my life. Grief is such an interesting experience. I saw a quote that said, grief is all the love. That we still have left to give for this person, for these people. All the unexpressed love. So we went on like normal, or tried to at least. And that's normal. It's such a funny word. And moving forward, we made it through Christmas, and it took me a while, a couple calls. And if you guys know me, I have no problem entering into the depths of my unconscious mind and to really weed out anything and everything that is a story or a projection that holds me away from being able to experience the love and beauty that life has to offer. And my coach at the time had asked me, probably in January, if I was ready to go back into the experience of the hospital with my mom. And I said, I'm ready. There's no better time. And so we did that, and something really magical came from that, where we did a regression and a rewrite. Because at the time, all I could see was her face in the hospital bed. And it didn't look like her. And it also looked like her. And so we rewrote that memory in such a beautiful way. And I'm so grateful to have this coach. She's just an absolute godsend. And that moment forward, it was like the grief had shifted. And I all of a sudden just felt this overwhelming sense of gratitude and love for everything. People, my mom, even all of the painful experiences my mom and I had together growing up. It was like nothing I experienced before. You know what? Let me pause there. It felt so familiar to the moment everything aligned and connected, and I was feeling complete unconditional love before I went to the hospital a year ago in April. Hope y'all are following along here. There's two hospital situations. And from that day, I felt like I came home. And that alone has taken me on a journey. I'm ready to really, truly share my message and my story with the world. And it's not like I've ever really been afraid to share my message and my journey with the world, but it's also really allowing people to resonate and to not feel like they're alone. I mean, for a 31-year-old woman, had just started making the most money I'd ever made, beautiful family, husband and a son, I have a beautiful home, I love watching somebody transform before my eyes. I love holding space for people to be in their complete, raw, untethered expression of where they are in life so that they know that they have a safe place that is non-judgmental, where they can be seen and they can be heard, because that's how we heal. And all of this, I know, has prepped me into entering and into creating bigger, more expansive aspects of that. And throughout this whole process between last year and this year, I've created a beautiful container with a deep, deep, amazing woman who has helped. She's become my absolute dearest friend, and she's helped me through so much of all of this and just has held so much space for me in all of this. And I wanted to create a space where people could come and people could heal. I wanted to create a space where people can come and people could be inspired I wanted to create a space that transformed because the world is so thirsty for freedom and the world is so thirsty for peace and the world is so thirsty for truth. And I wanted to create a platform and a place where people could meet themselves right where they were. That we can move together through the suffering that this world has. Being a human is not easy. It is a radically wild journey that doesn't begin nor end. And it's funny because there's so much that I'm excited to share with you guys about for season 3 and people that I'm going to be bringing on here to also share their magic and their wisdom with you through their experiences. And this episode is to enter into 2024 together in April in the new year and to really start to talk about the bigger topics, to have a place where people's voices can be heard, and to know that no matter where you are coming from, I don't care what horrific suffering you have had to endure that has led you to be listening to my voice right now, wherever you are in the world, at the gym, in the car, at your house, maybe in the grocery store, there's a reason you're listening to this here and now. And while I'm recording this, I'm remembering to trust fully in what comes through. I'm remembering to really understand that I am not in control, and neither are you. Though we try and we grip and we try to make so many things happen, there's something so much greater beyond us that is here to serve us while we also serve it. I wanted to also share something recent that I moved through, and I think it might help some of you guys listening. As I've been intimate with grief this year, intimate with heartbreak, intimate with loss, intimate with death, so much death around me. And I mean that in, you know, literal and non-literal ways. I'm reminded that we don't need to hold ourselves in suffering. And sometimes this work makes people hold themselves in suffering. Trying to find the next trauma, trying to have the next epiphany, trying to find the next breakthrough. Maybe then, maybe now, but it's still coming from a place that might not feel full and might not feel whole. And when I realize even what wholeness is, it's what we've always been. It's not something to get. It's not something to do. It's not something to strive for. It's already there. And I was able to shift my grief into love and gratitude because I had to be met in it so deeply. I didn't run away from it. I didn't distract from it, but I will be so transparent. There were many nights, there was a lot of wine consumed. There were many nights where I'm scrolling on Instagram with Netflix on the TV, sipping a glass of wine. And there were many days and many nights where I was holding myself on my couch, in my bathtub, in my shower, on my bed, in just weeping with grief. And I was reminding myself, there's something I say to myself a lot when I'm moving through something really heavy, is that it is safe to feel this. It is safe to be in the fullest expression of this human experience. That I am safe and well beyond provided for. And something recent that I came across was that when you ask God for something, he is going to give you the experience in which you can develop whatever that desire is that you're asking for. If you want strength, God is going to place experiences that will make you stronger. If you want more money, God's going to show you where you're holding yourself back from that. It's like this opposite polarized thing, and then we get angry and things don't work out the way we want them to, and we're confused, and then it just becomes this suffering spiral because we're not taught this. I wasn't even going to bring it up, but and this is something I'll make a full podcast about this. So you guys, cause we're going to go back to, just education and inspiration and wisdom here. But we have seven centers. We have seven core wounds, seven core areas within ourselves that if we're able to go back and dissolve those aspects, we will be in pure wholeness. And there's many different techniques and technologies that I've played around with, that I've utilized, that I've studied when it comes to psychology, ontology, maturation, hypnosis, regression, the body, the mind. And I wanted to put together something that incorporated all of it. Because I've been with coaches where I felt like I was doing was sitting in my pain. I've been with coaches where I'd get a tiny little glimmer of, woo, I feel great. And then 2 weeks later, it'd be gone. And I've been with coaches that have been more neutral. And I wanted to create something that incorporated all of it. How can I help people faster? How can I help people in a way where they will be equipped after a session with me, with understanding, with clarity, with context, and with experience? And those are three things within this industry that I feel like we lack. Because some people may give you the experience, but they don't give you the context. Some people may give you the context, but they don't give you the experience. And I wanted to have both. And so that is what I've formed with our Full Body Consciousness program that we have launched. We are in round two right now, and we will be opening it up for the spring-summer sessions. It's a 12-week program, and it is open to anybody and everybody. And it is where we are going to have education and context while simultaneously having experience where we go deep into, you know, where you see from, and we start to shift and we make things whole again so that you no longer struggle in reaching whatever it is, whatever inspiration or desire that comes through you, that you don't have a problem reaching that, and that you understand the beauty and the magnificence of who you truly are, so that you can go out and shine your light to the rest of the world. And that when life gets heavy, you have the tools and the knowledge and the understanding. Because it's not that when we become healed, we never experience grief. We never experience pain. It is part of being a human being. But we get the choice if we want to suffer. And that's what I equip you with. That's what we equip you with in this container. And that's what I was creating through all of this, through all of my own experiences. I'm the type of person that likes to hire on experience. I don't like to hire on education. I like to hire on experience. And what I mean by that is if I want to go and lose weight, I want to work with somebody who's had a lot of weight that needed to be lost and lost it. If I want to heal some deep trauma, I want to work with somebody who's healed their deep trauma. If I want to make more money, I'm going to work with somebody who makes good money. And I wanted to be able to be that person who knew and who has experienced so many aspects of life. And fortunately, unfortunately, whichever way you want to look at it, that could be a good thing. People say you're a bit wise beyond your years. And I said, well, I've lived a lot of life. I've lived a lot of life. And what I wanted to share with you guys was something that I came recently to within the last couple of weeks. And as I've been able to move through a lot of pain myself and alchemize that, I felt it was time to expand because I've definitely been in a year-long cocoon of coming home. And in this expansion, it's bringing out and sharing my inspiration, my thoughts, my words, my stories, and my testimonies. And in doing so, hoping that it creates resonance within you. So something recently that happened with this new inspiration of expansion is, what is it that holds me back? That's a question I haven't asked myself in a long time. And it felt so good. It was like, God, what a breath of fresh air to ask myself that question again. What holds me back? And it's interesting because I'm the type of person where when I get an idea, I can go really in, like, to town on it. Like a new, you know, inspirational business idea, or maybe it's a new artistic thing that I want to do, and I'll just go to town either studying it or researching it or creating something. And then usually a couple weeks down the road, or even a couple days down the road, I stop. And then it's like, oh, what am I doing this for? Is this even going to bring anything to me? Like, blah, blah, blah. And then I would kind of fall off. And that's been a story for a long time, a very long time. It's the fear of falling off. Even though I've proven to myself time and time and time again that I can absolutely see things through, there's still that unconscious underneath. And so when this showed up, I ended up going to a meeting. It was a meeting for a referendum to pass in our county that we live in, for the county board to pass a referendum that would help bring more employment to the public health and safety of the county in which I live in. And when I saw it was going to be about some mental health topics, I was like, let's go. Then my fire turned right on after I read that email and I said, we're doing this, we're going. I got questions and I got experiences. Like, this is what I've been waiting for. And I end up showing up to the meeting, and it's the sheriff and a county board member, and maybe like anywhere from 10 to 20 people throughout the duration of the meeting that showed up. And they went through their spiels and they, you know, talked about, you know, why they want this and what's it for in the community and where we're at and all the numbers. And it was time for Q&A, and I had some pretty potent questions that I wanted to ask, but I also had some leading questions that I wanted to ask as well. And the moment I got the microphone, even before I got the microphone, my heart started to pound. And all of a sudden, there was a nauseousness that I started to feel in my stomach, and my throat balled up so tightly. And I'm sitting there like, wow, being so conscious of this experience in my body. I'm like, what is going on here? This is interesting. And all of a sudden, the question was asked, anybody else want to ask a question? And I raised my hand, and all of a sudden, I could feel my body like screaming at me, like, no, 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 run and hide, run and hide, run and hide. And this feeling is so familiar in any times that I want to ask a big question, do something bold, step out of my comfort zone. This is the same experience. And so I get on the microphone, I ask my questions, and the moment I was able to get through my first question, it went away. And then I was ready to have some conversations, some deeper conversations. And I said, you know, what we're doing here is like trying to rub dirt on a broken bone and hope that it resolves itself. Because mental health is a much deeper topic that needs a lot more eyes on top of it and needs to be in a place where not only we have the county, but we have the cities and we have the schools and we have the states together working towards solutions that don't keep people locked down in a system, that don't keep people medicated, that don't keep people coming back and committing crimes, that keep people out of our jails. And in all of that, I felt like what we were doing or what they were asking of the voters was to pay more money. And I understood that it was in support of law enforcement. And you guys will have to do your own research if you don't live in the state of Wisconsin. Every state is different when it comes to mental health. But in the state of Wisconsin, it is the law enforcement that actually decides if somebody is deemed safe or unsafe, if somebody needs to go into a facility or not. And then the public health department gets involved, and those public health responders ultimately are the ones who then bring in the resources and given the basically educate you on where you can go and what you can do and what is provided on a state level. So learned a lot last year. So again, had a lot to say, but that's not the point of the story. The point of the story was noticing that experience in my body, noticing it passing once I started to use my voice. And then I came home and I woke up the next morning and I said, you know, now I'm curious, why does my body react that way when I'm put into a position to speak my truth to people that present themselves as people of authority? And it reminded me of experiences in school. It reminded me of experiences of employment. But really what it was this deep story on wanting of always being like kind of casted out. Like if I would speak up or use my voice in a family setting, it would either be like disregarded or, oh, it's just Natalie, or, oh, there'd be some blonde joke cracked, or there would be some snarky, sarcastic remark made under somebody's breath. Whether it was my, you know, my brothers, my parents, cousins, friends, whatever, there was always this air of that I don't have authority in what it is that I'm saying. Now, as a child, you don't think in those types of words. You think of, what's wrong with me? Why doesn't anybody listen to me? Why does everybody just make fun of me when I say something? And then there was created this need to prove myself. And I really wanted to unpack that deeper because it felt like I thought, you know, most of my life, it was this need to prove myself to my mom. I want my mom to see me as she sees her other kids. I want my mom to see me as she, you know, as somebody who she's proud of, ultimately. And when I really peeled that layer back, I realized it actually wasn't my mom that I was trying to prove myself to. It was my brother. And those who know me personally and know my brother, those are some big shoes. Those are some big shoes. And Tom, if you are listening to this, I love you. Those are some big shoes to fill. And there was this innate need to be seen by him and to prove myself worthy to him. And when I started to really unpack this, it came with so much emotion. Excuse me. And I realized that the story was this little girl who needs to basically keep her mouth shut because what she says is annoying and doesn't make sense. And it's just better if I'm seen and not heard. Now, that's not what necessarily people would say to you, but in a child's mind, that's how we experience it. And so that story was pulsating through me when I went to speak, and I didn't know it at the time. And now that I see that little girl who's so thirsty to be understood, who is so wanting to have authority and to be seen as knowledgeable, that doesn't feel like she's dumb, that doesn't feel like she's nothing because of the way that she looks, because she's overweight. And all of these aspects still were living inside of me. And so it was such a gift. And that's something that I really want to preference you guys. It's like when we really step into doing the things that scare us, we are gifted so much with the actual truth behind that. And then when we can see where that fear was living us, we then get to be the ones to move the energy, alchemize it. And then we realize the next time we step into doing something similar, it's not as scary anymore until it doesn't become scary at all. And that was something that I wanted to just be open with you guys on, because I know there's so many of us that struggle with this, and it holds us back from sharing our absolute beauty, whether that's your art, your music, your voice, your mind, your intelligence, your whatever gifts that you have, and you have them. And that's something else I want to just triple click on, is that you are so remarkably gifted as a human being. So remarkably gifted. And when you can start to allow yourself to step into your truth, your authenticity, your weirdness, then all of a sudden you start to experience this just beauty of alignment, and you start to notice the signs, and you start to see the miracles, and you start to see, you know, all of the masters that have come before us, the teachers, their words start to actually make sense. I was so proud of myself when I went and I actually spoke. And as I was getting into my car, a man that I didn't know who he was, but was there at the meeting, came up to my car window and thanked me for the questions and sharing what I shared. And I was like, oh, it was just a little wink from God that said, good job. Good job. Keep it up. I love you and you're amazing. And I needed that. I needed that reminder. And again, all of that happened before I realized what was even happening in my body and in my mind. And that's what this work offers. And that's what I offer you. I will be honest, I've been holding back. Now, there's definitely reasons why. And now you understand where you sometimes see me pop up on socials, or you'll see me throw something cool out there, or some wise thing that might, you know, resonate with you, or just an experience that I've had that resonates with you. But I'm talking about really starting to step into the actual truth of what I am here to do. And I've always been that person who sits at the table when everybody's complaining about things going on in the world. I'm the person that raises the hand saying, what are we going to do about it? And I've sat with that question for a long time. And I said, now is my time to get involved. And I don't know what that looks like. And it feels uncomfortable in my body, but it also feels so right. And that's getting out there, having the conversations with the people that make the laws, having the conversations with the people that people go to on Sundays, and starting to learn and starting to understand deeply things that I might not know that I don't know, but to also share my voice and my truth and my magic and my beauty with the world. I heard something yesterday that said that, you know, anxiety and fear could be because there's so much unexpressed magic inside of a human being, that there's an artist inside every single one of us, and an artist doesn't become an artist until what they have created has been shared. Not because it looks amazing, and not because it sounds beautiful, and not because it's going to be aesthetically pleasing to every single person and it's just going to, you know, be the next $1 million thing. No, because it's going to help somebody. A poem doesn't become a poem until it's shared. So how can we take all of this unshared magic and beauty and creation that we have and bring it out to the world, even though it's so terrifying, because we are putting ourselves up on a pedestal to be judged, to be condemned, to be laughed at, and then we continue to show back up and do it anyways because there was one person who connected with what it was that you created. And I don't care what that looks like. Maybe you're a mom and you want to share something beautiful that moms could benefit from because you benefited from it. Go and create that business. Go and create that mom's group. Maybe you're a guy and you love to fish, and all you want is to have a community of guys together, fishing together, but you don't know where to start and you don't ever reach out because what if you're too afraid that somebody might be busy or they've got kids or life is just too much and it's not going to work? Make the phone call, call the friends, put a community together, bring the kids, teach them. Teach a man how to fish. It doesn't matter what it is. But we've been living under this shadow that if we're not going to be rich and famous from this inspirational thing that we want to share, then we just might as well not share at all. And that breaks my heart because I was the same way. People need you. The world needs you. You're here for a reason. It was so funny when I first entered all of this. I remember wanting to have this online business and I wanted to be a coach, but I was like, you know, I could coach in fitness. I lost 100 pounds. I guess I'm certified. I understand the body. I understand, you know, some mechanisms of the body and how it works. I understand a little bit about mindset and how to develop habits and how to create consistency. I understand discipline. And it was funny. I had a coach ask me and he's like, but what do you love to do? I said, I love to talk. I love to have conversations with people. I love to use my voice. I love sharing. I love being on a stage. I love inspiring. I love being able to share my story in the depths of my freaking pain so that people can listen and know that they are not alone. Because the reason I've done this work is because I felt so alone in my life. And I know that if I feel this way, there's many people that feel the same. And I don't want any person to have to go another day feeling that way. And if there's anything that I can do by using my voice, I want to do it. And here I am. I can't paint worth a shit. I kind of like the way my voice sounds when I sing. I do love to sing. I sing every day. I sing all the time. And I do love dancing. Give me a good Zumba class. Let's go. But really, ultimately, I love using my voice. And there's no reason for it to be hidden any longer. And this year has taught me so much. So much. About myself, about life, about love, about death, about grief, about sorrow, about sadness, and about hurt. But the biggest thing of all it has taught me is how to love deeper and how to show up fully, honestly, transparently, authentically. If I'm having a day where I'm looking at my little belly roll and I'm sitting by the pool and I start pulling up my swimsuit, I'll turn over to you, look at you, and I'll tell you exactly what's on my mind. I'll say I'm struggling with my self-image right now. If I'm driving a car with my windows rolled down, singing at the top of my lungs, and somebody looks over and I look at myself and I stop because I'm afraid they're going to judge me, I'm going to look back at them and start singing again, even though I'm afraid they might judge me. I am no different, and neither are you. There's gold that lives inside of you. There's gold all around you. We have a conscious choice. When we realize that we have a conscious choice, when we have awareness that we have a conscious choice, we get to choose. Do I want to continue to suffer, or am I going to choose to surrender? And am I going to choose to share my magic and my beauty with the world? Jesus tore down temples, flipped tables in temples, looked at Pharisees, and basically said, you need to stop putting everything in a box. It's no longer about the mountains or the temples or the law. It's now about the heart. Spirit and truth in the heart. We don't have to suffer anymore. But I want you to know that you are not alone. And I want to thank you for coming here on this journey with me. I want to thank you for listening. I want to welcome you to season 3. Boy, is life a ride. It is such a ride. But thank you for listening. Stay tuned. If you are interested in this program that I do offer, Full Body Consciousness, there's links in my bios on my Instagram at I am Natalie Spaeth. You can email me at either this podcast email, mindbodyfreedom@gmail.com, or you could email me at spaethfitness@gmail.com. Anywhere, there's multiple platforms you can reach out to me on. If you are interested, there is a link in my bio that you could apply for the 12-week container. We do keep it small, and that is for a reason, because we want to make sure that everybody gets to get the experience within our program. And if you're on the fence, that's okay. We have many different payment plan options. We're not here to break the bank. We are here to help you come home. So if there's anything or any questions that you guys have moving forward, please go and check that out. We're really excited. The next course will probably be launching sometime between May and June, and there will be more details for that to follow once we have finalized it. We are also working on some mini offerings so that people across the board, whether they are free or a low ticket offer, can get access to our teachings and to the wisdom and the knowledge that we will share with you. So I hope that you guys are having just an awesome time. I know that this time of year is very potent. I know that right now, energetically, it is very potent. So please make sure that you are taking care of yourself. Rest, drink your water, honor your emotional side, and just know that you are so powerful. And there is a reason why you are here. Until next time, love you guys.